I think moms and grandmothers deserve more than one day a year, don't you? One special day. There you go. 365. How many should dads get? Our day is coming, right? But you really have demonstrated such a unique and sacrificial love for your families and friends. So many moms are strong and nurturing and down-to-earth and tender-hearted and seem to have a gift for the relational side of life, the feeling side of life. And so many mothers as well are incredible multitaskers. They get so much done. I truly... That seems to happen most weeks. I really have an admiration for these aspects of the feminine heart. Now, not every mother, not every person has all of those aspects, strong and nurturing and down-to-earth and tender-hearted and a gift for the relational side of life and all of that. But many mothers have most of those. Many mothers have most of those. Now, I think it needs to be acknowledged that not all of us had or have mothers like that. I think that's important to acknowledge. I think I speak for others who had or have mothers who perhaps weren't all that nurturing or tender-hearted. So the focus of a sermon on Mother's Day can't be just on highly nurturing mothers. That would not be a happy subject for everybody. What I will say, as one who's been a pastor to many women and many mothers over a long period of time, is that many of them have what seems to me to be an innate spirituality, a real heart for someone bigger than themselves, someone more loving than themselves, someone more powerful than themselves. These innately spiritual women know their faults and they know their weaknesses.
Hold on.
For example, they well know when they may not be as nurturing and as tender-hearted as they would like to be. And they well know when they may be getting a little bit edgy. And the thing is, they're transparent with God and with others, with their close friends, about those things. About that. So many women and mothers thus epitomize Jesus' statement in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I believe that, you know, perhaps more than most, mothers epitomize that. In the sense that they know their need for God, and they know when they need help from God. To be poor in spirit, many commentators teach in their interpretation, is to know one's spiritual poverty and weakness. It's to know when one is at the end of one's rope, and to thus have more room for God as a result. I appreciate that many women and mothers are that way. And we see that reflected in their active involvement in church and their heart for prayer and their heart for the Word of God. Now, the point of my message today is not going to be for us to seek to become more poor in spirit so that the kingdom of heaven can be ours. Dallas Willard is a renowned Christian author, a writer, speaker, thinker, philosopher. He was because he just died this week. For many of us, a real household name in Christendom, a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California, written a lot of books, and he's a C.S. Lewis type Christian guru in our day, and he has an intriguing take on verses like this, the Beatitudes, which, as you know, are the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And the Sermon on the Mount begins with short statements like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know these short statements that the Sermon on the Mount begins with. And preaching on the first one, I decided to consult Dallas Willard and to read his take on this beatitude. He's written a book called The Divine Conspiracy. And in speaking, and The Divine Conspiracy is basically a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. In speaking of these character traits that Jesus affirms in the Beatitudes, Dallas Willard discourages us from interpreting them in such a way that implies, be this way. Live out these traits in the Beatitudes, and you'll be blessed by God, the kingdom of God will be yours, etc. Dallas Willard says that that can't be the correct way to interpret these Beatitudes, for that would be setting up a whole new legalism. Our citizenship and participation in God's eternal kingdom now and forever is not based on what we do. It's not based on our being this way. And Willard had me there. For truly, the whole of the New Testament teaches that our citizenship and participation in God's eternal kingdom is available to us by grace. As we receive Jesus Christ and the salvation that he has won for us by faith, we do not attain our salvation by any righteousness of our own or by any living out the Beatitudes on our own. Now, interestingly, Willard teaches that the poor in spirit of Matthew 5, verse 3, refers not to those who know their need for God or who are spiritually in tune, but he says it refers to the multitudes who at the present time don't know their need for God, who are thus spiritually destitute, and who live out and organize their lives without considering God at all. Those are the poor in spirit. They are the ones who tell us that they can't make heads or tails of religion. Those are the poor in spirit. So why is Jesus saying that they are blessed? Dallas Willard asks. Jesus was telling the spiritually destitute in the crowds that he was speaking to that they were blessed because the kingdom of God that he said was now upon them in his coming was available to them if they would just change their way of thinking for a moment. That's repentance. And believe what he was teaching them. Just believe the good news. Interesting. Here's the message for today. Jesus came with good news for anybody, including those who didn't then and who don't now have a clue spiritually, including those who are in life circumstances that are beyond all human hope. The good news of the gospel is for the well-off and for the abandoned, the sorely afflicted, and the forgotten ones of the earth. All can be eternally blessed through a relationship with Jesus. The good news for anybody is that people don't have to get their spiritual act together first. People do not have to come into the right spiritual attitude or be poor in spirit first. Jesus said to people then, and he says to everybody now, just come to me exactly as you are. Be open to changing your thinking as you listen to my word. That's repentance, a change of mind, a change of thinking. Just be open to changing your thinking for a second as you listen to my word. And receive the salvation that I won for you at Calvary. Enter into a relationship with me, and the kingdom of heaven is yours. And then I will implant my spirit in you, gradually transforming you from the inside out, degree by degree, and you'll become a new creation, one who will always know your need for me. You'll always be poor in spirit from that time on. There'll never be a day that you won't know that you're spiritually destitute and that you need me. Every minute, every hour, every day. Such is the love and graciousness and mercy of God through Jesus Christ. That's good news for anybody. So this good news for anybody, what kind of response beyond worshiping God, which I would think would be a given, what kind of response does it elicit from we who are already citizens of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ? You know, I can't answer that question for you. But I can tell you the kind of response that Jesus calls for. He would have us each move out with a gracious, generous, and compassionate attitude towards people nearby in our spheres of influence, and corporately as a church, further out into a desperately needy world. To share and embody the love of God and to communicate the good news that is for anybody and for everybody. Ultimately, we are each called to give our all as we are empowered and gifted by the Spirit in individually different ways and styles. We're called to the mission of bringing people who need the Lord into that one relationship that opens up the blessedness of the kingdom to them. There is no higher call upon our lives than that. There is no other calling that makes an eternal difference in people's lives than that. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your matchless love and graciousness and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for good news for anyone who has ears to hear and a heart to respond in faith. We thank you for drawing us to yourself. Everyone here who presently is in a relationship with you by faith, you're the one who drew us to yourself. We had nothing to do with it. We thank you for pursuing us, for moving in our lives by grace. And may we each, by your empowerment and the spiritual gifts that you give us now, may we each be faithful to your call to help bring new people to faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Stand for the benediction.